You may have prayed this way before you came to church today or some other day of the week. Reverend Palmer Zerbe shared this when he was our district superintendent. He's formerly so today. This prayer goes like this: so far today, God, I've done all right. I haven't gossiped, lost my temper, been grouchy, grumpy, nasty, selfish, or overindulgent. But in a few minutes, Lord, I'm going to get out of bed. From then on, I'm probably going to need a lot more help. Amen. Amen to that. And prayer comes out of desperation of our own hearts. And the more we recognize our need for God, the more we're going to turn to Him and pray. One little girl had a sense of this. She came to her family before bedtime and said, does anybody need anything? I'm going to pray now. And we go to God with our needs. He understands that. And yet His desire to meet us in a friendship and in a life-changing experience with Him that only He could provide. I think our prayer life is one of the most chronically weak areas of our faith in God. It's something that always needs to grow. Sometimes children in their innocence pray well, because they pray from the heart. They don't measure what they pray. They just say, Lord, help. Or, Lord, thank you. And minimal prayer in the life of a Christian shows that really we try to run our lives on our own. We think we have enough gifts and talents and intelligence to do so, to get the job done without God's help. And that's a big mistake. I remember rushing out of the house many a day when I was from age 8 to 18 and spending a lot of time talking with my folks. What do they know? I had the world by the tail. And sometimes as an adult, we have the same type of attitude towards God Himself. When churches don't pray or pray minimally, it might accomplish tasks, but without God's guidance, power, or presence. And that turns into a very sad, frustrating, empty situation for believers when we gather. And so without prayer, lives are not changed. So God invites us to seek His face. So if you'd like a change of light, life comes with a change of heart. Prayer doesn't change the heart of God so much as it changes our heart toward God. So it might be part of our reluctance to pray, knowing that, oh boy, if I pray, if I really, really am serious with God, He's going to bring some changes in my life that I want to be ready for. I know in my own life, when I pray and have that openness toward God, I, at least while praying, I do not sin. When I pray, I do not sin. And when I pray, I do not hate. It's hard to remain hateful and caught up in some outer conflict or inner conflict while praying and say, God, you're great. And I come to you with this concern. I also know that don't pray, I go off the path of obedience. When I don't pray, I sin. I sin by not praying, and I sin by getting myself into trouble. So that relationship is there for us as a gift. And of all the things that God might bring to you during the message and during the scripture, remember that the prayer is a gift to be received and follow the Lord into that prayer time. An accomplishment that you do based on your efforts. Well, David prayed one time. He said this: one thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek: to live with God and to look at God, to gaze on God in a place of worship. That place is a gathered place, place is a place of your heart, to gaze upon God's beauty all the days of my life. So if you were to ask King David, hey, why do you pray? You pray because you get a lot of yeses? Somebody, Chuck Swindoll, asked the question, if God never said yes to you in your prayers, would you still pray? Think hard about that. Is He worth talking to? David said, I pray because I want to be close to God. That was his main motivation. Spending time with the Master. He knows about life. And to talk to you, Lord, you're the greatest gift of prayer. That was David's way of looking at things. And in the Bible, people came to God with a lot of needs, just like you and I have. Brokenness of life, difficulties, sin, whatever it is. People in Scripture have experienced exactly what you have gone through in your life. And they found in Christ that mighty shelter when they went to Him in prayer. But whether they got a yes or no about what they were praying about, they found something more precious, and that was God Himself. A couple examples here. The Apostle Paul, real go-getter, missionary, would accomplish great things, probably a type A personality, if you know what that's all about. That's a fairly recent diagnostic indicator for all of us. But Paul liked to accomplish things. He wrote a wonderful book called Romans. Talks about salvation and all its wonder and complexities and simplicity. And yet, Paul, even when writing about predestination, you know, you have a destiny. Did you ever think of that? Your heart is following that destiny. You could have a God-given destiny or a self-given destiny. God-given destiny is heaven. Self-given destiny is hell. Life forever without God. The Lord turned me around, or we're headed toward destruction. But Paul was writing about predestination. If you read Romans 9 through 11, you say, wow. And also you say, I've got an Excedrin headache now. I can't quite understand all this. But Paul, he stops and he says, from God and to God and through God are all things. To God be the glory forever. More important than what Paul knew about God is what God knew about Paul. And Paul said, more important than my theology, I want to know God and praise Him. And Paul was a great intellect. But he kept the heart toward God. God invites us to do the same in prayer. Paul also did this in his testimony. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, he's sharing his testimony about how Christ saved him. Saved me from sin and sin's consequences. And Paul begins to do that. All of a sudden he does this again. To the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be glory forever. Paul's saying, Lord, who You are is so much more important than even what You'll do for me. Who You are, so much more important. Psalm 73 gives us the focus of God as the whole point of prayer. The writer prays, Lord, who do I have in heaven but You? And earth has nothing I desire besides You. Only God can give us a heart like that. And if I were to pray that, you know, sometimes when I think of earth, I think I want the Lord, and I do want 15 other things at least. So it's hard for me to pray, Lord, You're the only one I want today. But God said, hey, if you pray that way, that's healthy. That's healthy. Seek first Him and His goodness. The other things He will provide from His gracious hand. To seek God in prayer, a promise from Psalm 50. Call on Me, says God, I will answer you, and you will glorify Me. God, the beginning, middle, and end of every prayer encounter. And then this, I think, very powerful verse from 1 Corinthians or 2 Chronicles 16. God gives an invitation. He says, God looks throughout the whole earth. His eyes run to and fro over the whole earth to show Himself mighty on behalf of those whose heart is toward Him. You think back today or this past week, is your heart towards God? I mean, He's ready to show Himself mighty on your behalf if you'd turn. So Isaiah says, seek the Lord while He may be found. Call on Him while He is near. Maybe in this hour, God would call you to make a commitment to seek Him in prayer. What a change only He could bring. Seek Him while He may be found. You'll find Him in prayer. Prayer's greatest gifts. There was a woman in my former church who had to make an important phone call to Colorado Springs, Colorado. That's the headquarters of the Christian and Missionary Alliance. Small group of faithful believers. And that can be very intimidating, you know, trying to get the right person on the phone. Sometimes you get if you're like me, you get the automated answering service, and then you get the operator, and then you get the secretary of the person you want to talk to, and then you get the person you want to talk to. Well, prayer is more direct. Praise the Lord. But she was intimidated, and so who would she talk to? She wasn't quite sure who she would get connected to. She had a question about missions. She ended up being connected to a fellow named Peter Nanfeld, who would soon become the president of the Christian Missionary Alliance. good man, important leader. And he spent time with her on the phone, gave counsel, gave guidance, shared a little bit about his heart for missions, a little bit of, you might say, fellowship happening over the phone. I asked her after the phone call, did you get your answer about the missions thing? Yes or no? And she's, oh, yeah, I got an answer, but you should have hear who I spoke with, you know. This fellow, Mr. Manfield, shared the heart. And it was a good thing. And we, when we turn to God like that, you come away saying, not just yes or no, but guess who I got to speak with? I got to speak with God. Wow. Was that life changing, let me tell you. More than anybody I've ever spoken to like that. And beyond a yes or no, to know that God cares for us, will share with us His life, His heart. If we open our hearts to pray, He does this. God looks forward to meeting with you all the time. A.W. Tozer talked about a disability he had. We all have those. He's a great Bible teacher and preacher, but he sensed a disability in his singing life, of all things. He said this, wrote in a book about worship. He said, I can't sing worth a lick. Some of you can identify with that. I can't sing worth a lick. But he went on to say, but to the Lord, I sound like an opera singer. An opera singer. That's what you sound like when you sing to God through Christ as a gift. And he says, wow, that was the best music I heard just from my dear one who would reach out to me. And, you know, singing is a form of prayer. So you might say about your prayer life, trying to get to know God, you might say this. You know what? That preach away about prayer, Bob. Go ahead. Just make me feel guilty. I'll try hard for a while and then fall flat on my face. But in our prayer life, we might say this, biblically speaking. I can't pray worth a lick. I can't pray worth a lick. But to the Lord, when I pray, I sound like Jesus. I sound like Jesus. Through Christ, we have the gift of prayer. He opens the way for us. Just like the son talking to the father, one of his sons or daughters, through faith. He says, oh, I want to hear what's on their heart. I know what's on their heart. I want to hear them express it so I can give of myself to them. Romans 5, chapter 2 says this, we've gained access into the grace by which now we stand. In other words, we could come right into God's presence and He would welcome us like He would welcome a Billy Graham or a Mother Teresa or Jesus Himself. That's the gift of prayer. Whether we want that gift or whether we want a form of religious prayer, it's really up to us. All other forms of prayer without Christ are man-made religion. Attempts to gain a hearing with God because of your zeal, your sincerity, or your effort, you sound like a Muslim. I'm going to reach God if it's the last thing I do. But God has reached out to us. We take a gift of prayer and say thank you, yes or no. Prayer is either God's gift or it's empty words. I think each of us have experienced both of those. And prayer, when we know it's a gift from God through Christ, goes from a man-made requirement to a time with our loving Lord. Time well spent. Jesus taught praying is like going to a neighbor who needs some food, hungry. Will God give what you need? Jesus said, the Father in heaven, He'll give the very Holy Spirit. He'll give Himself to anybody who would ask. And this morning you say, well, I need God in my life. Please give me Christ. Give me His new life. God will do that for you. Ask and seek and knock. If you're a believer, ask and seek and knock. God will open the door. Be simple in your prayers. Be open-hearted. Focus in on God, not your words, your methods. Lord Ogilvie, former chaplain of the U.S. Senate, said this. He prayed this Our elders, by the way, they're praying through a book of prayers. Just to let you know, they want to be close to the Lord and pray on behalf of the church. He prayed this: Lord, I need you more than anything you can provide for me. Can you identify with that prayer? Lord, I need you more than anything you could provide for me. A lot of things I think I need to have new directions in my Christian walk. But as a simple testimony, more than any of those directions, I need Christ every day. The churches in America, what do you think the churches in America need mostly? More resources? You think a few new more programs, a couple new more directions? We'd be excited about whatever the Lord does. But more than anything else, God's people need God. Source of health, source of new life with Him. Pastor Bruce Larson says, remember that prayer doesn't do it, God does it. So again, we think about who we speak to as a gift. Mother Teresa got a lot done in her life, very compassionate. See, she said this about prayer: we pray to increase our friendship with God. Our friendship with God. A great Arctic expedition took off for that frozen wasteland and was going to accomplish a lot for weather and survival and things like that. They went, they had scientists, engineers, fishermen, builders, educators, just great explorers. And they began to do their work, and all of a sudden they got very, very cold, very, very uncomfortable, and death approached. They couldn't do anything without a fire. Get the fire built, and we'll survive, and we'll thrive, and we'll be warm. And that fire is God Himself that people reach out to through prayer. And so He's here for the warmth of His people, for the health of His people through prayer. Francis Fenelon said this about praying. I hope you can catch this on the heels of how you reach out to God. He says, tell God all that is on your hearts, joys and pains. So we all have a big list. Many thanks and many needs. 10,000 praises, 1,000 trials. That's your week this week. Tell God everything on your heart, joys and pains. Tell God your joys so He can sober them. So He can say, direct them toward Himself. Tell God your longings so He could purify them. Lord, I know what I'd like. What would you like? Tell God the wounds of your heart that He might heal them. People find great help in prayer and spiritual health. I like this thought. If you pour out your weaknesses, needs, troubles, and sins before God, you will never lack for a prayer life. How true. Bring them to Christ, and He will bring renewal, and He will set you free. Talk out of the abundance of your heart. Blessed are those who have such an unreserved friendship with Him. And God offers His unreserved friendship to us. Well, what a privilege. We kind of say, oh, you really mean me, Lord? Yes, He means you. I was influenced by a song I heard once. Actually, it was during an offering at a Friday service in downtown Pittsburgh years ago. Richard Allen Farmer sang this song. Never heard it before, but I guess it's a classic. I was a little not too close to the church at the time. He sang this song. I must tell Jesus. These are some of the words. I must tell Jesus all of my trials. I cannot bear these burdens alone. Nowhere to go. He ever loves and cares for His own. I must tell Jesus, I must tell Jesus, Jesus can help me, Jesus alone. So the Lord available to help us today and this week. How wonderful. And we may all start at going to first base and saying, Lord, give me a heart after Yourself to love You in prayer. That our conversation this week would be a continuing conversation with Christ in some manner. I know He can provide that for us as a gift. If those who are hungry and seek and knock. And a closing burst of promise before we pray just a little longer together as His people here. Ephesians 3:20, keeping God as the focus. Now to God who's able to do more, immeasurably more, than we can ask or think. To Him be the glory. He's ready to give Himself to you in prayer. And seek Him, enjoy Him, turn to Him. Many, many benefits will come as a result, mostly knowing Him. Many, many disasters will happen if we don't turn to Him as His people. And He's very willing for this to occur. Now, we pray together as the Lord leads. You pray as God leads. I'll give you some directions to go in your heart. You pray silently with me, please. Could you tell the Lord what He means to you in silent prayer? Just tell Him what He means to you. Give Him praise for who He is. If you have never received Christ into your heart, this is a time that His Holy Spirit would help you to do that. You say, Lord, come in and be my Lord and Savior. Don't fool yourself by thinking He'll settle for second place. He'll forgive you through a gift. He'll bring a change to your life if you want this. He is gracious and good. So invite Him in by His Spirit. Hear our prayers to You, Lord. In prayer, ask God for a taste of His forgiveness about any sins that He has revealed to you. Your nature that sins, or your practice of rebellion. And thank Him for the forgiveness and new direction He could bring. He waits to give it as you ask. Ask the Lord for help with any problems that are a heartache to you. Don't be embarrassed about a long list. He knows the troubles well. Ask Him for help. Tell Him that He is the answer in the middle of every trouble you have. And then in closing, thank God for anything you want to thank Him for. Hopefully your list is long. And don't forget to thank Him for Him. Just what He means to you and this coming week. Lord, give us a heart after Yourself and help us to be like David, hear You saying, seek His face, and we could say, with Your help, Your face, Lord, do we seek. In Your wonderful name we pray. Amen. Our closing hymn is a hymn of request, saying, Lord, You be before my eyes, the eyes of my heart. Be Thou my vision. And then it's a hymn of testimony, saying, well, the best thought we'll have this week will be Christ. By day or by night. So enjoy Him and honor Him as you sing together. Be Thou my vision.